19, verses 1 through 14. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servants also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
From the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 1 through 21, 14 through 21, excuse me. Listen now for God's word for and to us. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And all the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And Jesus began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." For the word in scripture, for the word in creation, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. In their wildest imaginations, how could they really have known who he was? Oh, sure, they had heard the stories that surrounded his birth, the wild tales about the angels and the shepherds and the wise men coming. But even 30 years after his birth, the scandal of his conception was still being whispered about. And what a precocious child he was. Remember the time that his whole family had gone to the Passover festival and Jesus decided to stay and they all went on. They didn't discover he was missing for quite some time. And then frantically, they looked for him for 3 days. And when they finally found him, of course, he was in the temple in Jerusalem. And do you remember what he said? "Well, didn't you know that I would be in my father's house?" But this time, the grapevine was spreading very good news about Jesus. He was growing in favor with God and with men and women and children. News of his extraordinary wisdom, of his insight, of his preaching ability had started to spread. In fact, it reached Nazareth, his hometown, before he got there. As unbelievable as it must have seemed to them, the Nazarenes couldn't help but hope that it was true. Because if it were true, it would put their one-horse town on the map. And then perhaps no one would ever again taunt, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" This was not only his first sermon in his hometown synagogue, it is also the first recorded public appearance of Jesus' ministry. As a guest preacher, he was free to read from any of the scrolls of the prophets that he chose. And when he was handed the Isaiah scroll, he went to the part that we know as Isaiah 61, and he read those beautiful words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Those who heard Jesus read that day most likely would have known this passage by heart. It was one of the Torah's greatest hits, if not the greatest hit. This passage is God's original and quintessential "I have a dream" speech. God had shared it not only through the prophet Isaiah some 700 years before, but God had also shared it in the beautiful words of Hannah and Mary's song. Our God has great expectations for the world. God's dream is a world where the last will be first, where the overlooked and forgotten are counted and cared for. It's a world where forgiveness, mercy, and justice and loving kindness reign supreme. It's a world in which the entire creation and all that is in it is loved, honored, and protected. God's dream includes relief from those who are suffering from all kinds of poverty, including the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the orphans, and the widows. And God's dream includes redemption for all who suffer from spiritual poverty too. Those in the throes of grief from the loss of some sort, those of us who are unable to release resentment and hurt and be able to forgive. Those who suffer from poverty because they have all their economic needs met and there is no place in their life for any dependency on God. Those whose material abundance enslaves them and keeps them working for more and more, but no matter how much they get, they are never satisfied. The Greek word that we find in this text, "oppressed," is found in, of course, the Isaiah reading, but also it's what Jesus read today and claimed for his own. It means in the original language, broken to bits. So what Jesus is saying is that God has sent me to free those in this life who have been broken to bits by life. This portion of the Isaiah scroll would have been familiar and it would have been comforting for those who were listening to it in the synagogue that day. But what stumped them was what came next. After reading that scroll, Jesus rolled it back up and he gave it to the attendant and he sat down and he said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." You see, many of them could identify with those who had been broken to bits by life. Most of them were poor. They lived in very difficult times. Birth control hadn't been invented. There were many hungry people, many mouths to feed. They didn't have any vaccines at all or any organized health care like we have. Life expectancy was short and they were dominated by Roman rule. Although we, in many ways, have so much more than they did, we too may have similar wonderings when we hear these words, when we hear this passage. After all, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus walked the earth and he read these words, and we too are living in the year of the Lord's favor, it's true. But the world is still full of brokenness. Earlier this week, I was sitting in my fabulous new study, which I like very much, and I was writing this sermon, and I happened to look up, and I looked out the window, and out the window there in the courtyard, I saw a very heavy sparrow. Well, I needed to take a break, so I got up and I walked outside, and I walked right up to that sparrow, and to my surprise, the sparrow didn't move at all. And I said to him, "You are quite heavy for a sparrow." And the sparrow says, "I know I'm heavy, that's why I'm walking around." And I said, "Well, why don't you fly?" And the sparrow said, "Well, if I fly, I may get hurt." And I looked at that sparrow and I said, "Mr. Sparrow, what is your name?" You know what he said? He said, "My name is Church." Oh, Church, God's perfect love in Christ has cast out all fear. The prophet Isaiah's words illuminating God's dream were the blueprint for Jesus' earthly ministry, and they have been the guiding light for all those who would follow him, all of his disciples ever since. God's dream fuels our holy imagination, which is one of God's greatest gifts. Of all the created order, only human beings have the ability to imagine. That comes with being made in God's image. It's one of God's most powerful gifts. The gift of imagination allows us to face squarely what is, to look it in the face and at the same time to imagine a new reality. Through the gift of holy imagination, God has equipped us to do nothing less than to change the world. Where would God's church be without the holy imagination of the Apostle Paul, or Martin Luther, or Nelson Mandela? And I too have noticed in my short time here that God's holy imagination is alive and well in the community at Trinity. The holy imagination of this faith community has birthed the Shalom Orphanage in Tanzania, the manna box, which I see every time I come here, is being used by people in need who need something to eat and can just come and get it, and in a way that protects their dignity and fills their stomachs. Through friends of Pinellas Hope, who prepare meals and serve them to the homeless. Through sermons of series of service, which I am very excited and look forward to participating in at some point in the future. It, through its identity as a neighborhood church, working for healing and wholeness in the whole surrounding neighborhoods. Through Trinity Preschool and partnerships with the Symphony, Skycrest Elementary, and Clearwater High School. A conscious decision to become a Matthew 25 congregation and an active witness to the importance of caring for God's creation, most recently with the plan to install solar panels on the roof of the church. The holy imagination of the community at Trinity has and is changing the world, one person at a time, one blessing at a time. Not only those who receive are blessed, but also those who give, usually more blessed. We as the church are the provisional witness to the kingdom of heaven. When we choose to fly by fully living into the year of the Lord's favor, in addition to what we do as a faith community, God calls us to care for those for whom God's grace remains hidden. In the unique ways that only we are equipped to do. A mother sends two lunches with her daughter to the bus stop for the kid that never seems to have lunch at school or lunch or money to buy lunch. Anonymous donors fund foundations to provide medications for patients with acute medical conditions who otherwise would not be able to afford them. A man happens to notice when the ambulance shows up at one of his neighbor's house and makes a note and then acts on that, and later that day goes over and knocks on the door to see if there is anything that he can do to help. A woman buys cat and dog food for her own cat and dog every time they go on BOGO, and then she takes the extra food to the animal shelter. God wants to share God's good news through each of us as only each of us can share it. And this is where our holy imaginations come in. We are invited to be co-creators with God, to reimagine the world as God sees it through the sharing of the gifts that only we can share to make the world a better place. Desmond Tutu is remembered as putting it this way: do your little bit of good wherever you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world. God has given each of us the holy imagination to inspire us to do acts of kindness and love that only we can do. The gift of imagination allows us to face what is and at the same time imagine a new reality. For those who are held captive, for those who cannot see God's light, for all who are economically, emotionally, spiritually, or physiologically broken to bits by life, Jesus has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, especially through the church. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I, the church, we have been given wings to fly. We have been blessed to be a blessing. We have been saved to serve. And through the gift of holy imagination, God has equipped us to do nothing less than to change the world. And now to the one who, by the power at work within us, is able to do far more than we could ask or imagine, to God be the glory in the church, both now and forever. Amen. Seated for the postlude. There's one more announcement for this morning. Please be reminded that Dead Theologians will meet by Zoom at 6 p.m. this evening. If you need the link to that, please email Kathy or Andy. As we leave today, remember again that how much good you can do where God has placed you, that only you have the unique set of talents and gifts, and God is guiding you and leading you every step of the way. Listen for the Spirit, and you will know what to do. Because Christ has no body on earth now, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the hands through which Christ touches the world, and yours are the eyes through which Christ looks with compassion on the world, and yours are the feet through which Christ travels to do good. Christ has no body on earth now, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. So go and be Christ's body. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.